Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Clint Stirner and the show. It's the Search Update. Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes.
Astros fans, we thought Michael Brantley was on his way to Toronto with George Springer. We thought it was all but done, hell, and it wasn't our fault. It was reported. It was reported that Michael Brantley, Astros left fielder, had all but signed a deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, and I'll be damned if James Click didn't get to work and keep the professional. Uncle Mike, Michael effing Brantley, your Houston Astros left fielder, kept him in that uniform, baby. He's an Astro. According to Mark Berman, the Astros have reached an agreement with Michael Brantley on a two-year deal worth $32 million. First reported by Mark Berman right here. And now obviously all the national talking heads out there have had no disrespect because we're one of them. The national talking heads have caught on, and it's official, man. Michael Brantley is an Astro for the next 2 years. And show, not only did the Astros keep what I would consider the anchor of the lineup in place. This is a career 300 hitter. You can bank on him, steady Eddie, solid as can be. You can bank on him every single night he goes out.
He doesn't have as many ebbs and flows.
Nope.
Sometimes Carlos slumps.
He's the professional.
Damn it.
And they also avoided having a void not only in center field with the departure of George Springer, but also a void in left field with Michael Brantley. That would have been difficult to overcome, not necessarily at the plate, but definitely defensively in the field. And so to have that bat in the lineup, that anchor in the lineup, and still have your night in, night out left fielder on this roster and him be this caliber of a player and of a person, this is a big get for the Astros. Houston needed some good news.
Good God, oh my.
Good God, we needed some good news. Well, we got it in the fashion of Michael Brantley.
Somebody go buy a damn Michael Brantley jersey. Right now. Go ahead. Right now. Let me know. I want to see your receipt. Go ahead and buy a Michael Brantley jersey. Do it. Tyler's probably.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. The first thing I thought about when I saw the Michael Brantley news was our guys over at Running Game. What's that?
Yeah.
What's that?
What's
that shirt gonna look like? What's that
Mr.
first?
Mr. Professional.
Yeah, is it Mr. Professional? Is it Uncle Mike? Is it Michael effing Brantley? Is it? You know what is it? I'm going with Unc. I just want UNC Unc.
Just Unc Mike.
That's it. Not on anybody but Mike. Just put Unc. You know who the hell I'm talking about. You can have the shadow of his face, kind of like Tyler.
I feel like they may need something more.
I'm explaining that. Tyler's little face on his logo, you know, where his beard and his glasses is outlined like shadow figure of his face. Figure out a way to do Brantley like that and just put Unc on that joint.
Does Mike have a something that stands out where you know, like, oh, I know who that is? Like,
well, the artists can figure that. They pay people to figure
that out. Tyler's got
that
big beard and it stands out, and you go, now that.
Tyler's got
that's
that big-ass dome,
baby,
with that big beard. He got a big dome and a big beard, and he puts on big sunglasses.
How about that coffee mug?
makes for a good logo. Let's get back to that coaching search right there, T. Former Eagles head coach Doug Peterson leaning towards taking a year off from coaching. Show, we put together, or we did. Nah, I guess I'll take the hit. I thought, man, best case scenario, Eric Bieniemy's the head coach. Doug Peterson's his boy. Maybe, I don't know. But if he is, he becomes the Texans head coach. They announced today, man, he's more than likely going to take. Now, he didn't count himself completely out. But word on the street is Doug Peterson's going to take the year off from coaching and kind of sit out. And I heard Landry Locker and John Lopez talking about it earlier. I didn't like the tone that Landry Locker used, by the way.
Oh, Lord.
He's like one of those, like, Clint Show, we're talking about Doug Peterson being with Bieniemy, being a play caller. Like, what the hell were those two guys thinking?
Clint, you but know that point hate is naturally the, in his heart.
The point is, the OG made it clear, like, hey, the best step for Doug Peterson in his career is to sit the year out, see what jobs open up next year, let all the hype around the way he handled the quarterback situation in Philly, let it die down, and see if he can catch on as a head coach next year. I don't know that I can disagree with that. I'm sitting here with the Houston Texans going, boy, could it get any more beautiful than Eric Bieniemy and Doug Peterson as an offensive coordinator. I got to break it. 4 o'clock hour, the search update, Doug Peterson's not going to be your offensive coordinator. And the news on the street with the head coach is still, it's you know, we're at a stalemate. We're at a situation where all we have to report is Bieniemy, Eberflus, Frazier, and who was the fourth one, Show?
David Culley, are
the four that were interviewed as of late. And you got to think that this thing's coming down between Eberflus and Eric Bieniemy. We'll see how that goes, but nonetheless, Doug Peterson is not going to be your offensive coordinator. I did see a report too where there were several teams that did inquire about Doug Peterson being a play caller, not a head coach. So that wasn't too far off.
Well, no, it's understandable. Like Mike McCarthy, yeah, he's trying to pull the Mike McCarthy who set out for a year and then got a job. We can understand it can happen that way, but let's not act like him being able to coach Deshaun Watson for a year.
Come on.
No one thinks Deshaun Watson's going to take a step back, especially in that Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, Bieniemy style of offense. Let's not act like he's coming out with roses. Like, he had this issue with Carson Wentz and quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson for a year, that would be a help to how people view him. So it's not out of crazy.
He got fired for a reason, right?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Finally, the Texans do something that makes sense. According to Dan Graziano, the Texans reportedly are blocking teams from interviewing Tim Kelly. And no, Houston, I don't mean that I think Tim Kelly's going to be on this coaching staff and he's going to be the offensive coordinator, or hell, I don't think he's going to be the quarterback coach for that matter. But when you hear Deshaun Watson say this right here, when I fix a play for you, the best thing to do is at least act like you're going to do everything in your power as an organization to make Tim Kelly an option here in Houston. This is Deshaun Watson after the season talking about then offensive coordinator, current offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans, Tim Kelly.
Tim, over the past 2 years, I've really taken my game to a whole nother level. As far as just knowledge, reading defenses, understanding run points and run schemes, understanding the way of, you know, different concepts and different situations. So his knowledge of just the game of football is very, very bright. And, you know, he really helped me take my game, especially this year, you know, the best football I've played in my career.
And John McClain went on to follow that up with a question about, you know, would you talk to ownership or management about Tim Kelly? And he said, absolutely. He said he'd already talked to Cal that day or the day before about Tim Kelly in particular. And so that's why I say, if you got Deshaun Watson saying those things, if you got Deshaun Watson that excited about Tim Kelly, the right thing for the Texans to do, regardless of whether you think he's going to be part of your coaching staff or not moving forward, is you've got him under contract. The right thing to do is to block teams from interviewing him and potentially stealing him, especially when you haven't hired a head coach. You don't know who that head coach is. Is he going to be offensive or defensive? Are they going to hire a staff? Are they going to need a quarterback coach? Are they going to need an offensive coordinator? Those are all things that are still in play. And I think the right thing to do for the Houston Texans, not for Tim Kelly, but the right thing to do for the Houston Texans, Show, is to block anybody in the NFL from interviewing Tim Kelly and stealing him off this staff at this point in time.
I don't know, man. I just don't understand it. To me, I just don't think Tim Kelly is standing in the way for Deshaun Watson to feel better about coming here.
Oh, I don't either. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that if you're as an organization, if you're conscious and aware at all of what your quarterback has said in the last month, and maybe there's a disconnect there now, and he's not returning your calls. But the last you heard him speak to the media, he talked glowingly about Tim Kelly to the point where he was asked specifically if he had called ownership about him. Yeah, I mean, I just think the right thing to do, the easy thing to do, the obvious thing to do here is to block teams at this point from interviewing Tim Kelly. Now, to your point, I don't think there's any way in hell that Tim Kelly is on this staff in a coordinator position or in a quarterback coach position. There's a chance he could be a receivers coach or a tight ends coach or, you know, something of that nature. Maybe even something on the defensive side of the football if the DC wants him. I could see where the organization thinks, hey, this guy's a good coach. This guy's got a bright future in coaching. Let's see if the next regime wants to keep him in some kind of capacity. Okay, I could see that. There, it's hard for me to believe that he's going to be the OC for all the obvious reasons. Yeah. I think the one thing I know Deshaun doesn't want is Bill O'Brien's offense for the next 4 or 5 years.
That's what I was going to say. You don't think Deshaun – I can't believe Deshaun is the expectation that Tim would be the coordinator.
No, so I don't think he is.
So that's why I just wonder why I feel the need to block him. When I hear the Texans are blocking Tim Kelly from being able to talk to other teams, I got if I'm a Texans fan, knowing what this organization is capable of doing and decisions they make, that would scare the hell out of me. It would make me think there is some seriousness about them wanting to keep him as an offensive coordinator, because I can't think of any other reason why they would block.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, but I just gave you one, because their quarterback is extremely fond of him, and you've done everything you can to tear down that relationship. This as minimal as this may be, I do think that has a lot to play. Because I can't even think like the other side of this of him being. I can't see another staff coming in here and going, yeah, let me keep Bill O'Brien's protege. Let me keep Bill O'Brien's guy in house. Let's keep doing what Bill O'Brien was doing. I just can't see how that's even an option at this point in time. Blue 80. Easy. White 90. One of the best trash talkers of all time in the NFL calls it quits, man. You mentioned his last segment show. Phillip Rivers, man, he hangs him up. And the question right now, everybody's talking about it, is he a Hall of Famer? Look, I don't know if he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. I personally think he should. He's a top 10 quarterback in terms of career passing yards. He's maybe along. You brought up Dan Fouts. I guess him and Dan Fouts are the top two Chargers quarterbacks of all times. I heard somebody earlier that didn't even mention Dan Fouts and put him as the number one Chargers quarterback, of all time. But nonetheless, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think it's going to be one of those two or three or third, or fourth ballot type of deals. But there ain't no doubt he's a Hall of Fame trash talker. This is Phillip Rivers, which is a little 30 seconds of some classic trash talking.
He's turning right now. 57's firing. He's the new Clowney. Hey, you don't play Mike. Why would you line up there?
Right here.
Right here. Right here. Put your hands up. Tell everybody you made the play. Like last one. Put your hands up. Tell everybody.
Well, he took it off.
He took it off. That's technique. If his helmet came off, that's a penalty.
Run! Hey, run! Run! Run!
Quit just making up alerts. You're like, you hear things on screen, reverse, you don't know what's coming.
That's beautiful.
He doesn't cuss.
That's talent, too. You're not cussing in that environment when you're talking trash is very difficult to do.
I can't do that.
I can't. There's no way I could do it. It'd be corny as hell. But no, the best part is he's talking to J.J. Watt when he says, there you go, put your hands up. Let everybody know that you made the play. Put your hands up. He's talking to J.J. Watt. J.J. comes over and pats him on the helmet. He doesn't even check up. He says it again. Put your hands up. Let everybody know that you're the guy that made the play. It's absolutely beautiful, man. He's one of the best in the game in terms of talking trash, and I love it. The other thing about this retirement is, man, if Indy makes a power play for a quarterback, it could spell problems in Houston. Darnold, Ryan, Stafford, Wentz. I think there's going to be big-time movement at the quarterback position this year, and that's – those are guys that I don't think that they're going to have to go out and pursue. Like, I think that's something they'll be on the market and they'll go, oh, well, do we want one of these guys? If so, let's go get them. I don't think they're going to have to go begging for those guys. I think there's possibly two or three other quarterbacks out there that they could possibly make a push for and take from a team, offer a team too much to refuse, and really really create some problems for Houston next year, because I think there's we can talk about Phillip Rivers all we want and how as he got older he really struggled with arm strength and things of that nature. He always had arm strength problems, but nonetheless, there's an opportunity at the quarterback position physically for a big time improvement. And if they do with that running game and that defense, man, Houston could have a problem dealing with Indy moving forward.
George Springer has played his last game for the Houston Astros. He is going to Toronto. That was the big news of the day with the Astros. But the Astros made another move where they tried to make you feel a lot better about losing George Springer. We'll talk about that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
The big news of the day, two-parter. The first news, George Springer. Many people expected it. George Springer had even accepted it that he was going to be gone. But he did. He did. He went to Toronto, 6 years, $150 million. Go get that bag. Get that bag. He deserves it. But off of that, I think the thing was even more concerning was when we started hearing reports that right behind him was Michael Brantley to Toronto on a 3-year deal. And you're like, hold up. As Robert Flores, who was on with us earlier today, hit that radio.com app and hit that radio.com rewind. He was on with us at 2:35. He said they were number one and two in terms of OPS for the Astros last year. They're two overall best hitters gone out of the lineup, out of the outfield. Now you got to try to find a way to replace that production. But then, in the 11th hour, the Jim Crane, James Click, they come out and they stop it. And then we get reports, nope, Michael Brantley signed and agrees to a two-year deal in Houston right here, stops that. Did that ease the George Springer pain at all? Does that ease it a little bit? Because I know a lot of people were really down. I saw it. I see it up here. George Springer is beloved here. Tyler was in tears when he walked into the building nearly. But does the Michael Brantley thing ease that pain?
Hell yes. Hell, absolutely. I mean, you talk about, I mean, look, you're gonna miss Springer's the clutch gene, obviously, if you get into a position where those types of opportunities arise again. You hope somebody can answer the bell half the time the way that Springer did. And so you're going to miss Springer in the biggest moments when you need it the most. And there's no question about that. But when you start talking about the day-to-day, who can you bank on, set the tone type of player, that's Michael Brantley, right? I know he's not your leadoff. I know he's not your World Series MVP. I know he's not the guy that I think when he got here in 2014 is when the Astros started ascending to where they are today after those three straight seasons of losing over 100 games each year. So he's been the heartbeat. He's been that blue-collar guy that the city can relate to so well, and I get all that, but there's no doubt about it that Brantley, one, just him not leaving with Springer is an absolutely huge deal. But what he means to this lineup is big, man. I mean, that anchor in the middle, a guy you can always bank on to hit 300, and a guy that you can bank on in the outfield. There's some people that may have some questions show with his age. You know, he's getting up there in age, the injury history, and what ifs if he gets injured and he can't play in the field. Now you got Yordan Alvarez and him at the DH position. Who do you hit? Who do you not? Those are good problems to have, by the way. That's a good problem to have if the Astros end up having it. But I'm not overly concerned with the age. And I think this is some good news that Houston needed at this point.
But you know he's going to hit around 300.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to hit with power. He's going to drive in runs. You know what you're going to get. And I think that's a big deal with what you said. There's a lot of guys around him that – Altuve can go up and down.
Well, Springer could. Springer was world's worst.
Yeah, he was streaky. We know Los Correa can be streaky.
Bregman was streaky this year.
Rick Bregman can be. And Yuli, it just left Yuli the last month and a half of last year. Alvarez with his injury history, you know, like there are some guys around him. He's always pretty steady. From the text line, what is this serious? Where is he going to play? That's a lot to pay for a DH. He's going to play in the outfield.
He was getting angry that he wasn't getting more time in the outfield.
Yeah, I think
a lot of people can get hung up on the quad, and you know, I think there was two different stints this year where he was out, and a couple of them were critical moments. A lot has happened since then. Good gosh, in Houston especially, but I think there's a legitimate concern that people will throw out there when they see that 31 or 32 years old, and they go, well, what if? But I mean, this guy is the consummate professional. I mean, hell, I'd rather have the shirt. Actually, I've changed my mind. I don't want the shirt that says Unk. I want the shirt that says Mr. Professional, right? Where's he hail from in your starting lineup?
Bellevue, Washington.
I know that because you used to do the starting lineups, and that was absolutely beautiful. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a concern anytime a player gets up older, but to go, where's he going to play? I mean, come on, man. I mean – Put him in left field.
He's going to play a corner outfield position. I know many of you think it. The injuries that happened to his legs aren't going to carry over to next year.
Well, but you're talking about so.
I'm just saying he's not going to continue to have injury from last year.
Well, where I was, you're talking about a professional. You're talking about a dude that's going to take care of his body. A dude that's going to work out. A dude that's always going to be ready. If he gets injured. Damn it, it was just meant to be. This isn't a guy that's like careless with his body and isn't taking care of himself and putting himself in the best position to have success. So if he does get injured, injuries do happen. It's possible. It could become a problem. But I don't think this is a guy you look at and you go, man, the first thing you do when you see a two-year, $32 million deal with this caliber player not leaving your organization and being back, the first thing you mention is age and injury possibilities. I think that's – I just don't know how you go there.
No, I don't either. And many people around the league are really praising the Astros, especially with this contract, the type of contract. When you're seeing numbers, huge numbers, getting him on a two-year, $32 million deal. And I'm going to tell you what, I think a big thing for Houston, as we said, Houston needed some positive news. This to me tells me that Michael Brantley wanted to be here. He just wanted them to make an offer to get him there. We saw, continue to report it, three-year deal in Toronto. Three-year deal. I know about athletes. You give me that three-year, you give me a one-more-year deal, that means more guaranteed money on the table. Hell, I'm going to probably take that. He got a less year where it looks like it's been reported that he was going to Toronto for 3 years. He got 2 years here and decided to come back to Houston. Like, I think Michael Brantley really wanted to be here and was looking for a reason for Houston to put enough a good of an offer to keep him here. Because most people, 3 years of guaranteed money, that's hard to turn down at 31, 32 years old when you don't know how many more contracts you're going to get.
Well, I tell you what would have been tough was the Astros to fill the void in center and left field if he'd have bounced. Right? I mean, instead of having the conversation of, well, what if he gets hurt, then what are we going to do? Who's going to DH? You don't have anybody. Well, the real problem that you have is the one you avoided of having your left field and your center field positions not being and having to go out and find that guy, two of the three outfielders. That would have been a major problem. Because, I mean, look, Robert Flores outlined it earlier. I think there's only a couple of guys in the conversation that you could go out and get without having to give up. You know, give up prospects, and hell, the Astros don't have many.
No, they don't. No, so a big day for Houston. George Springer, that hurts. Real quick, George Springer, is he like? I just want to kind of get a gauge of how big George Springer is. Is he a number in the outfield type of guy? Like a,
I don't know what that means.
Like Craig Biggio,
like retire his number.
So, oh, in the rafters. Okay.
Yeah. Is he?
Yes,
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
World Series MVP. I mean,
World Series MVP.
Just that alone.
Like whenever his career is done, you think he's a guy that comes back and a number right there. He's that type of guy.
I could see it. Yeah. I mean, he started it all here, man. You know, he was one of the first.
Is it just Biggio and Bagwell, and maybe I guess Nolan Ryan out there?
There's some more. There's Cruz.
Yes.
There's bunch of those old guys from the 70s and 80s.
I mean, Springer, man.
7 years.
7 years, three-time All-Star, World Series MVP, obviously the World Series title. The heartbeat of the team for 7 years.
So the title thing is a big thing. He's clutch the MVP moments, of that.
The clutch moments. You know, I think when you look at, like, you look at Biggio, you go, okay, 20 years.
Yeah,
I mean, 20 years. Good God, the numbers he compiled. You look at Springer, you go, the moments, right? The clutch moments, the clutch moments in the biggest moments. Yeah, I don't know how you don't, right? I mean, how do you not put him in the raft?
Because how many guys from this crew go in? Because I think Altuve, like, to me, Altuve's got an MVP.
He'll have 3,000 hits by the end of it, too.
He's probably been the overall best player in
Altuve's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I would think so. And then is Correa?
Well, I don't know if
Correa's
not yet.
He's got to continue.
Right. No.
How does that typically work? I'd like to go back and look at other organizations and see, like, off of a one-time World Series winning team, you know, like, how many of those players legitimately end up going down as
all-time,
as put their jersey in the rafters, all-time greats.
But I'm not just talking about Astros Hall of Fame. I'm talking about retired, their number's not able to be used again, right? I think you got to change things. Like the Yankees, they've got 36 titles. The Astros have one. So, I mean, you're a part of the team that brought the one here. So that to me gives him a much bigger, like, you could pull even with some of the Biggio and Bagwell thing because you brought a championship here and you were the MVP of that. I don't know. That's a good thought. Is he a retire the jersey type of guy? Clint, I'm sorry. I got to be honest. I'm getting a little scared about this Tim Kelly being blocked to have interviews. I'm getting nervous. The scariest thing about it is, could he possibly realistically be the offensive coordinator? I think you got to say there's a chance. We'll talk about that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint, a lot of people in Houston are happy understanding that Michael Brantley is coming back to the Astros, but there are some nerves, and I wonder if you'll ease this, because the report today that came out from Dan Graziano of ESPN that the Texans have fielded offers from teams who want to meet with offensive coordinator Tim Kelly, but the Texans have denied those requests. Can I tell you the first thing that went in my mind when I heard this?
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
The first thing that went in my mind when I heard this is, oh, God. So this means Eric Bieniemy is out. This means any offensive type of coach, even hell, Joe Brady, he's out.
No,
that
God!
This means this is going to be a defensive-minded coach that potentially the Texans are looking at, and that the thought could be, all right, this defensive-minded coach will inherit Tim Kelly. Deshaun has come out, said he likes him. The offense, especially for Deshaun, was okay. We could bring him in. It made me think, why would they block him? The thing that comes to my mind is they want to keep him on as the coordinator and then have a coach be the head coach. And to me, I couldn't think of an offensive coach who would want Tim Kelly to be their coordinator to run that offense. I'm nervous. One, Eric Bieniemy is off the table, and two, that this is a defensive-minded coach in either Leslie Frazier or Matt Eberflus.
Well, let me ease your nerves.
Please ease it, because I think there are people here who think this.
There is zero chance that Tim Kelly is the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans next year. There's zero chance.
Like zero.
Zero chance.
How the hell can you be this?
Zero chance. There is zero chance that Tim Kelly is the offensive coordinator.
Tyler, you with the zero chance thing?
I never can rule him out for anything.
There is
anymore,
not a zero.
But I want to keep listening to you because it makes me feel better.
There's not one coach that's going to come into this dysfunctional organization and say, yeah, let me keep your guys. There's no way. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense if the organization wasn't in a state of dysfunction. It doesn't make sense if they were an 8-win football team last year instead of a 4-win football team. It just doesn't jive. There's no way a coach is going to take this job and go, yeah, I'll come in there and I'll try to resurrect this program and get y'all out of the state of dysfunction that you're in and try to win ball games, and I'm going to do it with Bill O'Brien's protege. There's no way. And then when you look down and you go, okay, well, what about a quarterback coach? There's no way that an offensive coordinator is going to come in here and not either coach the quarterbacks himself or bring in a quarterback coach to coach his scheme, which that quarterback coach will already know the ins and outs of that particular scheme. And the only issue at hand initially is getting Deshaun Watson to absorb as much of that offense as possible. There's no scenario that makes sense that puts Tim Kelly in this organization as an offensive coordinator or as a quarterback coach.
I would normally think that nothing makes sense, but it doesn't make sense to block him. Like when to block him from getting just interviews, it doesn't make sense. And so I'll be honest with you. What we've learned from the Texans the last month or couple months is I'm a little iffy about things that they say. But I'm a little iffy about things that they say to take it as the gospel. But what I do look at is they've become, let me view your option, your actions. Let me see what it is that you do. And when they go and say, no, you cannot meet with Tim Kelly for a job that you would think would be better than the one that he would have. Because to me, I'm with you. I can't think of anybody who would come in here and say, Tim Kelly, OC, remain as OC, to prevent him to go get a job. Anyway, to me, I would think some sort of position coach. And to me, if you got a guy that's going to be a position coach at best, you would allow him to be able to get interview for a better job. And when I hear that, I take them serious. And when I take them serious is they're seriously considering him being the offensive coordinator if they're going to block him. And if that is the case, it would be a defensive style coach. And that to me is scary.
I think for once it's the Texans making the smart decision. I think the communication between the organization and Deshaun Watson, I think is slim to none, right? I mean, I think, you know, yes, him responding or not responding to them, I think is a problem. And so just general lines of communication don't appear to be open. And the one thing that Deshaun Watson said loud and clear after the last game of the season was that not only did he give Tim Kelly credit for a lot of his development, but he went out on a limb and said that he'd already talked to Cal McNair about Tim Kelly and keeping Tim Kelly around. I think at this point in time, that's hard to do. That's going to be hard for an organization to do. But where they sit right now with no communication with Deshaun Watson, the right thing to do is to block any kind of interaction with a coach that's under contract with your organization right now. Because what happens is exactly what happened to Anthony Weaver, right? All of a sudden, you can interview Anthony Weaver. Well, he's linked to Urban Meyer's staff, and he's all but ready to rock and roll to Jacksonville, right? And that's the word on the street gets out. That's the message. That's the reports. And if that were Tim Kelly, there's a chance that Deshaun Watson would say, see there, I told y'all I wanted the guy in the organization, and y'all aren't even protecting him until you and I can have a conversation. I just think it's the right thing to do for the organization at this point in time, if they're listening to the quarterback at all when he is talking.
See, I don't know. I know what Deshaun has said, and you got to take that. But, man, I got to believe that Deshaun understands that, as you put it out, right? I can't see a coach come out and say, I'm going to come in, all this dysfunction, everything that has happened, what I watched from this offense last year, I want old Tim Kelly to run this bad boy. Can't see a coach doing that. And I can't see a coach saying, yep, I'm going to install an entire new offense, an offense that Tim Kelly doesn't know, but I'm going to make him and he's never played quarterback,
yeah,
but an offense he doesn't know. I think Deshaun understands that. I think Deshaun knows Tim Kelly's not going to be on this roster. And if you say, all right, he's gone or he gets permission to interview and it does happen the way it does with Anthony Weaver and he may be linked and he may go somewhere, I got to believe that Deshaun isn't delusional in thinking that, all right, if Eric Bieniemy is hired, that Tim Kelly's going to be on this staff, or if Joe Brady is hired, that Tim Kelly.
I just think you're thinking way too deep. I just don't like. I'm not saying it's a good move by the organization. It's a reactionary move by the organization. It's a panic move by the organization. I can't give you any scenario just from a football. From a staff, I can't give you a football reason how Tim Kelly even makes the slightest of sense to me. So I agree with you. The only way this makes sense to me is if it is a panic move or a move by the organization to at least appear like they're listening to their quarterback after they clearly haven't done it in the past. You know what I mean? That's the only way that I can make sense of this. I don't see organizations coming in going, let me interview Tim Kelly as my offensive coordinator.
So you're saying it feels like the Texans may have a fear that this may be something that angers Watson even more, even though Watson can't be delusional to know this is.
Yes. I agree with you.
I hope that is the case. I hope there is nothing serious to this at all.
I just can't show. I don't even think if Tim Kelly were if he had pelts on the wall and he was long in the tooth and this offense performed really well, but they only won four games and he had been under Bill O'Brien as an offensive coordinator for 4 or 5 years. And it was Bill O'Brien's guy. He was raised up by Bill O'Brien. I don't think that is enough for a new regime to go, yep, I want to keep that guy here. The coach that comes in here is going to want nothing to do with anything that was in the building before him. Nothing. Get them all out of here. I don't want nothing to do unless there's a tie from the past. Unless there's some kind of
maybe Anthony Weaver.
Well, you got to think that Vrabel. You know, I could see the Tennessee Titans doing something with a guy like Tim Kelly. Not saying offensive coordinator, but something with a guy like Tim Kelly because there's obviously a pass there, and I'm sure there's some connections in other places. I could see Tim Kelly going to Alabama and being the quarterback coach if they hadn't already hired one. Because Bill O'Brien's the offensive coordinator. I could see that being a legitimate possibility, right? Yeah. I mean, there's just no, seriously, I can't even give you – I can't even think outside the box to give you a reason why they would block Tim Kelly in terms of because they want him here or there's a spot for him here. I can't think of one.
I can't either. And the only thing that comes to mind is that they're serious because they have made some decisions that everyone looks at like, what? Huh? All right. From the text line, Tim Kelly deserves some credit. Look at the numbers Deshaun put up with zero running back, zero tight ends, Cooks, Fuller, and some practice squad wide receivers. He does deserve credit. He doesn't deserve to be an offensive coordinator.
When we've given him, this is less about Tim Kelly's ability or inability and more about he's Bill O'Brien's protege. He's part of the old regime that turned into a dumpster fire. No coach wants that. Is going to want that around. Look, Tim Kelly, he did a great job with Deshaun's development. I mean, I've told you a million times, he deserves credit for the development that Deshaun Watson. He deserves credit for being part of that development. But you know what else? He also deserves credit for the worst run game I've ever seen on an NFL football field over a 16-game span, right? He also deserves credit for the lack of a screen game. He also deserves credit for the ways of Bill O'Brien continuing so off obviously after Bill O'Brien was fired. I mean, there's a lot of things there that you go, man, you know, I had 1 year of experience. You know, there was some development of the quarterback there. There were times when they put up good numbers. But not to have a conversation about the guy remaining in a position, offensive coordinator for this organization. I mean, I almost laughed out loud when I said that.
Yeah, he deserves credit also for the offensive line appearing for about 5 or 6 weeks not to know how to pick up a blitz pickup. Like that also too, which is constructed. So yeah, that's a thought. Like if I'm a Texans fan, just reading the Texans, I am nervous as hell when they block the ability for Tim Kelly to interview for other offensive coordinator jobs because I wonder if they're potentially serious about wanting to think about keeping him as the coordinator, which would mean I think the number one candidate, Eric Bieniemy, would be out. Chris, I'll let you jump in and get in on this. Go ahead, Chris. What's your thoughts on this?
Hey, man, this is my thoughts, and this is how I honestly feel about the Texans. Number one, I'm a huge fan of Sports Radio 610. I don't even have XM Radio in my car no more because I listen to y'all more than I listen to music. So let me get that out the way.
Beautiful.
Number two, we got to stop trying to make sense of what the Texans are doing. Truth be told, nothing that they've done this whole offseason, even in hiring Nick Caserio, and it might have been a good move, but it wasn't the move that made sense, especially after calling in this whole firm and putting together a team of people to advise you, and then you go off and pick somebody who wasn't even on the list that nobody advised you to hire. So I know we're reading into this Tim Kelly move, but the reality is this. We're trying to reason with people. We're trying to reason like people who have sense because we're people who have sense. Cal McNair doesn't. He really doesn't. When you really look at it, he's kind of just fumbling through this process, hoping to come up with something that'll work. Like the Tim Kelly thing, it could be A, that, okay, we're finna get a defensive coach, or it could be Tim Kelly saying, hey, me being latched to Bill O'Brien didn't work. Maybe I do need to stay here and try to latch on to the next head coach to see if I can get myself under a better tree than the Bill O'Brien tree, because obviously that Bill Belichick, Bill O'Brien thing is not working right now. So I realize we're trying to make sense of it, but truth be told, man, we kind of just got to sit back and just wait to see what the Texans do because there's really no telling. Honestly, Tim Kelly could be a back pocket OC that you keep in your pocket just in case we're not able to get Eric Bieniemy because there are reports out saying that Eric Bieniemy wants some say over the personnel on the team.
I appreciate the call, Chris. Yeah, I just don't think that's Tim Kelly's decision with the new coaching staff coming on if he could be the back pocket offensive coordinator or be the guy that to try to stick to another tree, coaching tree. That's not going to be his decision. Like as Clint said, I don't think if any of it, Joe Brady, anybody comes on, Jim Caldwell, that they're going to keep Tim Kelly. I don't see that occurring.
Yeah, look, I agree with the sentiment of the call. I agree with trying to make sense of what's going on over there is very, very dangerous. But there's, you know, like the Nick Caserio move. The process you can question, but Nick Caserio, you can see it, man. Dude's got it 20 years with Bill Belichick. The dude, he's put together. The dude, when he talks, he's like, hey, man, this guy's probably a pretty damn good hire. You can make some sense of it. When I'm talking about Tim Kelly, like there's nothing about it that makes sense in terms of him legitimately being in Houston. I mean, there's nothing there, right? There's football-wise, there's nothing there. There could be a business play involved. I don't know about all that, but there's football-wise, there is zero chance that Tim Kelly is the offensive coordinator for this football team. And there's if he's not the offensive coordinator, then there's zero chance he's going to be the quarterback coach for this football team.
Yeah, I'm not at the zero point there. And as a listener said, you know, we're thinking too with reason. I am not thinking with reason. I am just taking everything they say and measuring up with the action they've shown. And that's why I take that serious. I take it serious that they'd be willing to trade DeAndre Hopkins for players and value that doesn't make sense. They would open up a coaching search and be the first team to be the coach to fire their coach and not interview Robert Saleh or Eric Bieniemy until their quarterback kicked up a fuss. I take everything they do. All right, if they block Tim Kelly, in my mind, I'm just taking it as them fools may be thinking about keeping him as the offensive coordinator. And I said fools because that to me would be a foolish move.
Yeah, whoever they hire, if they're not considering hiring him as head coach, then he ain't going to be here.
And I'm telling you, any coach, Matt Eberflus, Marvin Lewis, any Leslie Frazier, any coach that would say, yeah, I'd be willing to take the job and keep Tim Kelly as the offensive coordinator, that's an immediate red flag that they're the wrong choice. If they sat here and looked and thought, Tim Kelly's offense, that's it. That's a championship-style offense. That's the place to roll. It's immediate red flag. They're the wrong person. All right, coming up, we'll continue with the coaching search, the latest news at each top of the hour. We'll give it to you, the latest that we have on the Texans coaching search. That's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.